This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump reshuffles. Again. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Wednesday, August 17. Welcome aboard. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Trying to stop a slide in the polls, there's been another leadership shakeup for Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump. Will identify his newest advisors.
A fast-growing wildfire northeast of Los Angeles has forced the evacuation of some 82,000 people and closed part of a major interstate.
At the Olympics, Simone Biles earns another gymnastics gold. Women's basketball romps again, and men's basketball faces Argentina today in the quarterfinals.
And a new study finds millennials have developed money habits that the rest of us should take note of.
We're used to hearing a lot about millennials in terms of bad financial decisions. We know this is a generation that is burdened with a lot of student loan debt. They're faced with stagnant wages. When we look at some of the new reports that are coming out, there are actually a lot of things that millennials are doing that are pretty smart with their money that other generations may want to take a page from that book.
Kelly Grant at CNBC.com on four ways millennials are smarter about money than the rest of us. She's here in about 20 minutes. Well, slumping badly in the polls, Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump is trying another campaign shakeup to reverse the slide. He's bringing on a veteran of media and a veteran pollster. There are just over 80 days now until Election Day. More from Daniel Libet, contributing writer to CNBC.com. Dan, what has happened?
Well, it appears as of early Wednesday morning, late Tuesday night, there's another shift to the leadership of Donald Trump's presidential campaign. Paul Manafort, who is remaining on as chairman but was effectively the campaign manager after Corey Lewandowski was booted some weeks or a month back, is now being, I guess, sidelined, one would say. And Steve Bannon, who's the head of Breitbart News, the right-wing news outlet, is being effectively put in his place, as well as Kellyanne Conway, who is Mike Pence's longtime pollster, who now I think holds the title of campaign manager. But again, everything's very murky title-wise over there. But it seems like there's a two-headed monster now with Steve Bannon and Kellyanne Conway. And this follows, of course, the New York Times story the day before that says that Roger Ailes, the former Fox News chief, is also informally advising. So this is quite a circus of managers who are coming in and coming out, dancing around.
What are these newest folks expected to do, Steve Bannon and Kellyanne Conway? I mean, I know the polls are tumbling, but I mean, they have to do something specific to reverse the numbers. Is there a plan?
Yeah, with Steve Bannon, you almost think that his goal is to basically go out guns blazing. This is not the kind of person you would bring in any traditional sense to right the ship. He has no political experience, at least no campaign experience. He's a former Goldman Sachs banker who's really made his name in media, right-wing media. He's helped publish. He was part of a project to produce a rather obsequious documentary about Sarah Palin. He was behind the publishing of a very critical, if conspiratorial, book about the Clintons and where they get their money, called Clinton Cash. So I'm not entirely sure what he would do other than, you know, it's makes sense that he's a friend of Donald Trump. Breitbart, the website that he's controlled for the last couple of years, has been very pro-Trump. He's a friendly face and a bit of a stirrer, and maybe that's what Donald Trump wants to do. I mean, it's an indication that whatever he said in the past and whatever certain establishment Republicans had hoped for going forward, that he would normalize and calm down his rhetoric. That's no indication of that. This seems like the bombs away.
Yeah. We're speaking with Daniel Libet, contributing writer to CNBC.com, breaking overnight, another shakeup in the campaign of Donald Trump. As a junior pundit here, it doesn't seem difficult to me. You know, if I were advising Mr. Trump, it'd be along the lines of stay on script and only attack Hillary's trustworthiness. Is the message coming from somebody else going to change things here?
Well, I don't even know if that's the message that's going to come from these new folks. I mean, Kellyanne Conway has been with the campaign previously. She's not new as of today. Steve Bannon would be. She's more of a traditional strategist and pollster. She was a strategist for Newt Gingrich in 2012. She's actually kind of an interesting figure. She's been all over the place. She co-authored a book with Celinda Lake, who's a Democratic pollster, about how to attract female voters, ironically, given her place now with Donald Trump and his troubles with the female voters this election cycle. So maybe she would be that voice. But again, I just think that this is, we've now seen through a myriad examples that Donald Trump is not looking for that, and he's not looking to be tamed, and Steve Bannon is not going to be the guy to come in there and tame him in that way. I think, again, this is just an indication that whether or not they've effectively written off the election, which I think is fair speculation based on this move and their current standing in the polls, that they've at least figured out that they're gonna do it the way that they did it in the primaries. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump's going to do it the way he did in the primaries before Corey Lewandowski was fired, and he's going to just let it rip.
Thanks, Dan. Daniel Libet, contributing writer to CNBC.com. Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal says Mr. Trump will begin airing TV ads on Friday in the battleground states of Ohio, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Florida. It's 13 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Coming up next, a new out-of-control wildfire in Southern California. Looking for the next place to grow or expand your business? Why not look to a state that's one of America's top 10 for business, where 2,000 burdensome regulations were eliminated over the past 5 years and is now home to the sixth best entrepreneurial climate. All this and more awaits you in the state of Michigan, the state that should be the number one choice for your business. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. Again, that's MichiganBusiness.org. To learn more.
Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at Dell.com/radio.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Wednesday. What started as a smallish wildfire in Southern California, relatively speaking, of course, has exploded into a big and dangerous one. Authorities have ordered the evacuation of 82,000 people after flames broke out in a mountain pass yesterday. It's now come to engulf better than 15,000 acres. Officials said about 700 firefighters were battling to control the blaze in an area called the Cajon Pass. It was 0% contained as of late last night. Two firefighters trapped by flames in the effort to evacuate residents and defend their homes, but they escaped with only minor injuries. Eric Sherwin is the spokesman for San Bernardino County Fire.
It's one of the hardest things that we can do as firefighters is seeing this happen and seeing the size of this fire as it sits right now and the numerous canyons that are involved trying to get the assets in place.
The so-called Blue Cut Fire forced the closure of part of Interstate 15, the main freeway between the Los Angeles area and Las Vegas. Meanwhile, the so-called Clayton Fire was 35% contained around the community of Lower Lake, where hundreds have fled. The man accused of starting it, by the way, is due in court today. Days after historic floodwaters turned parts of southeastern Louisiana into a giant muddy lake, we're getting a picture of how extensive the damage is. First off, at least 11 people have died in the flooding. since powerful rains inundated the region over the weekend. As much as 2 feet of rain fell in some regions of the state. Here are some other numbers. At least 40,000 homes have been damaged. At least 40,000 people had registered with the Federal Emergency Management Agency seeking help. FEMA Administrator Craig Fugate.
Our primary goal right now is, again, supporting the governor's priorities, really focused on, we got a lot of people in shelters, got a lot of people who may not be able to get back into their homes, so what will be the next step for temporary housing?
By the way, in addition to the people rescued, about 1,000 pets had been saved. The water rushed into homes, pushing in doors, popping out windows, and chasing residents up their stairs, finally into rescue boats. It lifted cars, deposited them sideways in ditches. One woman, emptying the home that she lived in for 39 years, told the Wall Street Journal, quote, "I was watching my life go out in the garbage." It's 20 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Donald Trump is shaking up his campaign's leadership amid flagging poll numbers. Kellyanne Conway, already a senior advisor to the campaign, has been promoted to the role of campaign manager, although Paul Manafort will stay on as campaign chair. Stephen Bannon, the co-founder of conservative Breitbart News, will come on board as campaign CEO. The moves mark yet another round of internal shakeups for a campaign struggling to find consistent footing just 82 days ahead of the election. Hundreds of firefighters are battling a rapidly spreading wildfire raging unchecked in drought-stricken Southern California after flames forced more than 82,000 residents to flee. The Blue Cut Fire, which erupted yesterday morning, has grown to cover some 18,000 acres. Kevin Collins is battalion chief.
Got evacuations in place at this time. We're trying to pre-treat houses and move on.
Authorities issued evacuation orders for 34,500 homes near Interstate 15, the main freeway between Las Vegas and the Los Angeles area, a stretch of which has been closed indefinitely. An investigation is continuing in Rio into the armed robbery early Sunday of four U.S. Olympic swimmers, including star Ryan Lochte. Local police say they learned about the high-profile crime from media reports, the same time the rest of the world did. They say they received no report of the crime by the victims or U.S. Olympic officials. Why the crime wasn't reported is one of several questions police are seeking to answer. The Olympic beach volleyball stadium shook after each point to Brazil, and the crowd rained boos on the U.S. duo of Kerry Walsh Jennings and April Ross. Not that the Brazilian crowds were ever all that friendly to the U.S. team, but this felt different because the Brazilians won.
Agata puts it away! That's it! Brazil has upset the United States.
Walsh Jennings and Ross had been booed at times throughout group play and even bore the brunt of Zika chants, but never faced hostility like what comes with playing Brazil's best medal hope. In other Olympic news, gymnast Simone Biles won gold for her floor routine while teammate Allie Raisman took silver. The U.S. women's basketball team blew out Japan 110-64. This morning, it's a win or go home game as the U.S. men's basketball team faces Argentina in the quarterfinals.
What happened with women's basketball? Like midway through the third quarter, that was like a 10-11 point game.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Then
were you worried?
then I saw the final score last night. I'm like, they won by 46.
They're ridiculously good.
They have a different gear. I mean, they always have. But
and they're all Connecticut players.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Why not? It's 23 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Here's something you may not have heard before. Millennials, today's young adults, are offering life lessons that some of us should pay attention to. A new survey finds they're making some smart money moves that other generations would do well to emulate. More from Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. Kelly, millennials, really?
I know, right? This is a bit of a switch. I mean, we're used to hearing a lot about millennials in terms of bad financial decisions. We know this is a generation that is burdened with a lot of student loan debt. They're faced with stagnant wages, not some great employment prospects. And then they tend to do some, let's say, not so smart things with their money in terms of, you know, racking up debt on what can be some really frivolous expenses and not putting enough of their money in the stock market. But
yeah.
I mean, really kind of like setting the stage there. But when we look at some of the new reports that are coming out, there are actually a lot of things that millennials are doing that are pretty smart with their money that other generations may want to take a page from that book.
Very interesting. All right. So what are they doing here?
Well, one of the first things that they do well is actually creating a budget, and they say sticking to it, although, you know, they're not they don't tend to be working with a lot of funds that help them balance out a lot of these goals. They are doing a lot to set a budget and then also to track their expenses. They're more apt than older generations are to use an expense tracking app to make sure that they are monitoring their spending and seeing where they might be able to make some habit adjustments and save some money.
Wow. All right. So who gets credit here? Is it technology because it's available, or is it lessons from, say, the recession, having watched perhaps their parents go through it?
Probably a little bit of both. TD Ameritrade was the one that did this study, and it doesn't seem like they asked a lot of questions about exactly why millennials are budgeting, just that they do have a lot of savings goals, which is yet another one of these smart habits, and they are looking to use that technology to better meet those goals.
Wow. We're speaking with Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. She's got an interesting story entitled Four Ways Millennials Are Smarter About Money Than Boomers. All right, so savings goals, like what? What are they doing?
They are saving for a lot of different things outside of retirement, and a lot of this tends to be emergency funds, which is great because we know from other reports that a lot of people do not have any emergency savings, and that's a problem just in terms of financial habits that could lead to. They're also saving, of course, for things like vacations, for holiday purchases, for weddings, if they're in the younger cohort that they haven't gotten married yet, for a first home, for their education, even for their kids' education.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Trips to the post office, as you know, are never convenient. So why not get postage right from your desk with Stamps.com? Stamps.com even gives you special postage discounts you can't get at the post office, including first class, priority mail, express, international, and more. You'll never pay full price for postage again. Here's how Stamps.com works. Using your own computer and printer, you buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package. Then just hand it to your mail carrier or drop it in a mailbox. It's that easy. No wonder over 600,000 small businesses are already using Stamps.com. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A four-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Get started with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter Deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Wednesday, August 17. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Another personnel shakeup for the Trump campaign. New wildfire forces 82,000 evacuations in Southern California. 11 dead now in Louisiana flooding. And how about this? Police in Florida say a college student killed a married couple and was found biting off chunks of the man's face. On the tech front, Ford plans to sell self-driving cars in 5 years. On the entertainment front, Black Sabbath begins the next leg of a tour today. The E! Television program cancels I Am Kate. Rumors say WrestleMania 33 will feature Big Show versus Shaquille O'Neal. Men's basketball versus Argentina today at the Olympics. Russia has launched airstrikes against targets in Syria from a base in western Iran. Moscow says the bombers targeted ammunition depots and command and control centers in three provinces, but using a base in Iran is a new twist. That's caused concerns in Washington that the move may violate a UN Security Council resolution. The Wall Street Journal says the strikes are a sign of new coordination between Moscow and Tehran to support the government of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, and an indication that the U.S. has fallen short in its efforts to draw Russia away from a close military alliance with Iran. Here's Journal reporter Nathan Hodge with us today from Moscow. Nathan, set this up.
Well, nearly a year ago, Russia launched an air campaign in Syria to help prop up the regime of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Now, back in March, the Russians said that they were going to be withdrawing the bulk of their forces, but they've continued to maintain and support, maintain some level of troops and support the regime of Assad, together with their allies, the Iranians, who have provided advisors and foot soldiers along with the Lebanese militia Hezbollah. Now, on Tuesday, Russia launched airstrikes against targets in Syria, but this was the interesting difference here. It was from a base in western Iran, and that's something very new. In recent memory, certainly since the Islamic Revolution, Iran has not allowed other countries to use its territory to launch attacks or to launch military operations. Previously, under the Shah, of course, Iran had a close relationship with the United States, but still, Iran has a wariness about foreign intervention on its soil. And this is an interesting new turn of events. And it's hard to say at this stage whether this was just a matter of convenience. In other words, an airbase that was closer to the Middle East or closer to Syria for Russian warplanes to launch these strikes, or if this is actually a symbol or a sign of a closer involvement by Russia in this region and a closening of ties.
All right, so what if Russia has violated a UN resolution? Then what?
Still not clear whether or not Russia has violated a UN resolution. It's complicated stuff, but the short version is this. Russia is one of the countries that helped bring Iran to the table to strike the nuclear deal last year. Now, the big concern, and this was raised by the State Department yesterday, was whether or not Russia has violated any kind of UN sanctions by staging out of there. Now, there's supposed to be limitations on the ability to provide certain kinds of weaponry to Iran, but whether or not this would apply to Russian plane basing out of Iran remains to be seen.
Wow. We're speaking with Nathan Hodge, Moscow bureau chief at the Wall Street Journal. We're talking about his story entitled "Russia Launches Syria Airstrike from Iran." All right, so what now for perhaps the U.S. strategy in dealing with Syria?
Well, the main priority for the United States has been to try to reduce civilian casualties, as well as try to bring some kind of negotiated settlement. There are other countries as well that are involved in trying to bring not just the regime, but all the different warring parties to the negotiating table. Russia is also involved in this process, but there's another catch, which is that Russia has continued to press an air campaign against Islamic State, and as well as a group that was until recently called Nusra Front. It recently changed their name to Syria Conquest Front after they said they severed their ties to al-Qaeda. But basically, there's been a lot of difference between the United States, its allies, and Russia over who constitute legitimate opposition to Assad. So real and genuine talks have yet to get underway over Syria. There are talks about talks, but at this stage, fighting continues.
Wow. And that's troubling because the Washington-Moscow relationship is already fragile, correct?
It's fragile, but the U.S. and Russia have found common ground again. Secretary of State Kerry was in Russia in July to talk about just that, trying to rein in Bashar al-Assad's air power. There have been efforts by the United States jointly with the Russians to try to bring about cessations of hostilities. Yes, and they're... They've been haltingly successful at various stages. But again, Syria has been a very difficult problem for over five years, going on 5.5 years now. And it's something that's going to require all the members of the international community to be involved.
Thanks, Nathan. Wall Street Journal reporter Nathan Hodge in Moscow. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning. Thanks for being with us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, the LeBron James Goodwill Tour continues across Ohio, Gordon. Over the weekend, James was a guest at a Drake show in Columbus after it was reported that the superstar player had signed a new three-year deal to stay with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Not that there was much doubt after he delivered Cleveland their first major sports championship in over 50 years. Then we learned yesterday that James was sending 5,000 Ohio kids and their families to the Cedar Point Amusement Park. According to TMZ, it's all part of LeBron's I Promise initiative, the same program that teamed up with the University of Akron to sponsor full scholarships for over 1,000 students.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I mean, has there ever been a bigger redemption story than LeBron James?
Yeah, you know what? And I'm part of it. I've done the 180 on LeBron, too.
Yeah.
Because nothing turned me off more than the whole
taking my talents to South Beach,
nothing turned me off more than that.
Yeah,
but I must say, he has done great things. He has, in addition to score lots of baskets and win rings, the stuff he's done with the community is absolutely noteworthy.
And there were like a couple of people, I don't know, maybe they were just trying to make headlines, there were a couple of people who actually thought there was a chance he might leave Cleveland because his contract was up.
Right.
I mean, come on, he would have to be the dumbest human being alive if he was to leave Cleveland a second
just
time.
Just give him the whole state of Ohio for crying out loud.
And breakfast lovers, Gordon, probably don't think that much can improve a crunchy piece of golden toast laden with a gently melting pat of butter, or in my case, a nice smear of peanut butter. That is unless you're one of more than 1,000 people who have backed the Toasteroid, an app-controlled toaster featured on Kickstarter that sears emojis and words onto your morning slice. Mashable.com reports that the Toasteroid's functions have attracted over $95,000 in backing, on the way to a goal of $150,000. The Kickstarter campaign runs through September 19th, and a pledge of at least $79 gets you your very own Toasteroid.
Really?
A mini Toasteroid can be yours for a pledge of just $59. Of course, I don't think it actually toasts the bread any faster, which is really all anybody wants who is eating toast, is just toasted quickly.
Here's where I'll send my money.
Yeah.
To the toaster that sends out toast with sausage already on it for a mini sandwich.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So do the whole thing, like in the Jetsons, the whole thing would be like, you know, the eggs and the sausage and the bacon and the cheese all melted nicely and done in like 30 seconds.
Right. Hey, I wanted to follow up quickly on that story you did last hour, that the feel-good stories.
Oh, yeah.
About the American picking up the New Zealand runner right when she had fallen. I have a little confession to make, and that's that I am cheering against Brazil in these Olympics.
Really?
Yeah.
So you weren't happy about like the volleyball result, beach volleyball result last night, for sure.
And I was not happy with that. But and I just want to know, does that make me a bad person?
That you're cheering against Brazil?
Like yesterday, women's soccer, I cheered wildly for Sweden to beat Brazil just because I wanted to see the Brazilian fans suffer. And I'm not sure why that is. Maybe because they're slightly obnoxious. I understand that.
That was going to be my next question. Why?
I mean, don't know why.
The fans haven't done anything wrong, as far as I know.
They haven't. It's just something about, I don't know, like Brazil is, I think, en route to becoming the worst performing host country ever in the Olympics. And something that the horribleness in me wants to see that, and I don't know why. I don't know why. I can't explain it. So I just wanted to come out and be honest about that.
Watch out for the Schadenfreude right there. That's coming your way, my friend.
13 minutes in front of the hour. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, thousands of volunteers from around the country are descending on flood-stricken Louisiana to assist relief efforts for what the Red Cross called the nation's worst disaster since Superstorm Sandy. At least 11 people have been killed, some 40,000 homes affected, and 30,000 people rescued in some of the worst flooding ever to hit the state. FEMA Administrator Craig Fugate.
Our primary goal right now is, again, supporting the governor's priorities, really focused on, we got a lot of people in shelters, got a lot of people who may not be able to get back into their homes. So what will be the next step for temporary housing?
About 8,000 people remain in emergency shelters. The House Government Oversight and Reform Committee says the FBI has handed over documents related to its investigation into Hillary Clinton and her private email server. Clinton had no comment, and her campaign is asking for the notes from her interview with the FBI to be made public. A spokeswoman for the Republican-led House Oversight Panel says staff is reviewing documents that are classified as secret. A judge has set October 17th 15th as a trial date for the whistleblower lawsuit filed by former Penn State assistant football coach Mike McQuarrie, who was placed on leave by Penn State in 2011 following revelations he reported that a boy was being sexually abused by assistant coach Jerry Sandusky. McQuarrie's lawsuit contends his coaching career and personal life have been harmed since he reported Sandusky. Television host John McLaughlin, who every week for more than three decades headed a public affairs show, has died. The former Catholic priest, who became a pundit in the 70s after writing speeches for President Nixon, was 89. His final public message to his fans was on Saturday when he said on his show's website that he had missed recent tapings because of poor health. And even if you exercise regularly, too much sitting can still be bad for your health and heart. The American Heart Association says too many people are spending far too much time on chairs and sofas, period. The association says adults are sedentary for about 6 to 8 hours a day, with the problem getting worse with age.
Yeah, but what about during the Olympics? Don't you get a pass? And what about during football season?
Yeah, you have to. So.
And for you, college basketball season.
That's about 11 twelfths of the year.
All right, so we stand up during July and August. I mean, oh boy.
Yeah, right.
It's 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
You're a small to mid-sized business with 300 to 3,000 employees. You face the same network security challenges as big businesses do, but can't support a big IT investment, leaving your doors open to advanced cyber threats. Barracuda Next Generation Firewalls provide all the core features of enterprise firewalls and UTMs, but without hidden costs and deployment hurdles, making owning a big business firewall no big deal for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda Next Gen Firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
Glad you're with us. There's an image already being considered the iconic moment of the Rio Games. You know what? It shows Jamaica's Usain Bolt looking to the side with a big grin on his face as he goes on to win the semifinal for the 100-meter dash before winning a record third Olympic gold in that event.
Here comes Bolt, but Gatlin has a big lead. Can Bolt catch him? Here he is, still invincible! Usain Bolt!
The only problem, who took that famous photo? The Wall Street Journal says two photographers, Cameron Spencer of Getty Images and Kai Pfaffenbach of Reuters, were standing side by side and both captured it. Some users are even giving incorrect credit in publications. For the record, they both used 70 to 200 millimeter zoom lenses. It's not the first time this has happened, by the way. An Associated Press photographer and one from Sports Illustrated both captured Muhammad Ali standing over a defeated Sonny Liston in 1965. You know that photo. Ali's got that scowl on his face. His kind of right arm is almost in a follow-through punch pose. That one, too. Two photographers getting credit for the same photo. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Hey, thanks for listening. If you love our show, we'd love it if you took a few minutes to give us a review on iTunes. And while you're at it, make sure you like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter with the handle @ThisMorningShow.